Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, the nuclear plant in Sellafield is located just across the Irish Sea on the Cumbrian coast, and it has been in operation since the 1940s. The discharge of low-level liquid waste remains the most significant source of artificial radioactivity in the Irish marine environment. And in recent weeks, its cybersecurity failings rather than the industrial leaks have been a source of controversy. Well, Mark Paul, London correspondent with the Irish Times, has been visiting the site and he joins me in the studio now. Mark, you're very welcome. Lovely to have you back with us here in Ireland. Your piece in the Irish Times last weekend was called Inside Sellafield. It was really fascinating. I mean, you described the razor wire, the gun-toting guards, blast barriers at the toxic waste nuclear site itself. I mean, it read in parts like a spy thriller, really. Will you tell us about that first visit to the site in Cumbria? Because you tried to gain access, or you were having a look around, but you hadn't asked for permission at that time, and you were reminded of that.
Yes, that's so. I mean, I went up on spec up to Cumbria, and you know, I was doing sort of what journalists do, hanging around, nosing around, asking people questions. And next thing you know, I was pulled over by the police, who had spotted me taking photographs. I noticed that the cop was carrying a gun, and then I noticed another police car show up, and those police were carrying automatic weapons, and then another police car showed up. So pretty soon, I was surrounded by three police vehicles, who checked, you know, every aspect of my ID, checked out the car I was driving, and held me there for about, I'd say, about 20 minutes, a half an hour. So you very, very quickly get the impression when you go near Sellafield that this is no ordinary part of the English countryside. I mean, it's on the edge of the Lake District. It's in one of the most beautiful parts of England. But it's probably one of the biggest terrorist targets in Britain. It's the most toxic site in Europe. It's probably, you know, one of the most notorious industrial complex in all of Europe. And it's somewhere that has loomed large in the Irish psyche for so long. It's a place of such fascination for us. And I decided to go up there and visit. I didn't have permission. But 8 weeks later, they let me back in for real after going through a very, very heavy security process. I had to go through levels of security clearance that go beyond what the Irish Times has for the Westminster Parliament. And eventually they let us in, and they let us into the centre of the site.
So the first time you were there, I was interested to know that your conversation ended with the police when they told you that they'd be remembering your reg, that it had been noted, and they'd be, even though they accepted that you were a journalist, did they, from an Irish publication?
They accepted that I was a journalist. Sellafield has its own police force. Well, British nuclear facilities have their own police force called a Civil Nuclear Constabulary, and they look like a counter-terrorism force, and they look like the sort of police that you see London Metropolitan Police. But yeah, they were asking me questions about what I was writing about, and they wanted to know was my story about. They wanted to know, was it related to those hacking allegations that you mentioned at the outset of the item. So they were really, really interested in depth in what we were doing. And of course, when they clocked the Irish Link, the Irish Times, on the ID, they kind of understood why I was there.
So now, I mean, you got access to it, which you'll tell us all about. But what happens at Sellafield now? What's it for?
Sellafield is a nuclear dump. And that's effectively what it is. I think to a lot of people, and we still think back to the sort of 1980s and 1990s when Sellafield was seen as a nuclear power plant. That was called Calder Hall, a small aspect of Sellafield. But it was only ever a tiny part of what Sellafield did back then. Sellafield's main function was as a reprocessing plant, which is like recycling old nuclear fuel rods to get plutonium and so on. And it hasn't done that for a few years now. But what it is now is a toxic dump. So still nuclear material from the remaining old nuclear reactors all over the UK all come to Sellafield, and they get stripped down and they get stored. But the stuff that's been stored there since the 1950s and 1960s has been stored in basically buildings that are crumbling to bits and ponds of water that are leaking into the ground. And these buildings, if you look at them, I mean, you know, they're completely crumbling, and they're trying to pull the stuff out of these old buildings and put them in more appropriate and safer buildings. And that's going to take hundreds of years.
Yeah, I mean, that description is like a fairground grabber. People will know the machine. That's how it was described to you. That process of removing this stuff from one place and putting it into another.
I went into one of these buildings. There are four buildings in Sellafield that are most dangerous buildings in Europe, and they're in this one little self-contained part in the middle of it where there's so much extra security you get into. And so they've built what are called, they refer to them as fairground grabbers. They're basically big claws that you would use to win a teddy bear in a fairground or in an amusement arcade. And it lifts the nuclear material out and it puts it into a special box, which is then put inside another box. box and inside another box, like Russian dolls. And then this is eventually moved off into a much safer facility. But this takes years and years to do. And one of the particular facilities that I looked at, they reckon there's 10,000 skips to remove from it. They had only removed 40 so far. So it's going to take decades and decades. One of the nuclear scientists who brought me around the facility said it's like trying to empty a wheelie bin with a teaspoon. And so it's going to take a long, long time. But this is also a very, very lucrative activity, I suppose, for a lot of companies. And the British government spends nearly £3 billion a year trying to clean up Sellafield. And there's another 100 years or more of this to go. So there are a lot of people, I suppose, earning a lot of companies, earning a lot of money and doing this. There's a kind of a separate parallel argument, which is that this stuff should be just scooped up and buried a couple of kilometres underground in an underground cave. And there's a big political debate going on in Britain and a big social and moral debate about whether they should do this and where to do it. And of course, Sellafield would be one of the places where that might happen as well.
So given the amount of money that's being spent on it, the crumbling buildings, it's not because there's a lack of investment there. Is it because of safety concerns? They can't remedy those buildings.
No human being can enter the core of these buildings. You die straight away. I mean, the stuff is that radioactive. I mean, you're talking about spent nuclear fuel rods, or you're talking about the sort of the casings that they came in. You can't touch this stuff. For example, there's one building, the two worst buildings. One is called B30. It's known as Dirty 30, and the other one is B38, which is a kind of a storage warehouse. It's been leaking water into the ground for on and off for decades. And they can't send anybody in to fix it. So you can't just, you know, ring up a plumber or ring up a builder and send them in to fix the leak. So they just have to let this play out by itself. Yeah. One of the other ponds that they have down in the Thorpe reprocessing plant, Thorpe was the part of Sellafield where they used to reprocess nuclear fuel from all over the world on a commercial basis. They shut it down, but they still have all the fuel there. For the first time a couple of years ago, they managed to send a diver into one of these pools, carrying the low-level waste. Now, I mean, look, I hope whoever the diver was on double time or treble time. But this is the first time they'd actually sent somebody into this pond in decades. But the ponds, B38, B30, the really, really difficult stuff, no human being can enter these buildings. And the buildings, as you said, are falling apart. You can't just send builders in and build another building over it. So they've got to scoop it all out and put it in these new things. And it's a really, really dirty, horrible, dangerous task.
I remember years ago visiting a nuclear plant in northern France on a press trip, and I just found it a really eerie experience. Like, it was like a whole ecosystem. It was like a town. And then when you're putting on your hazmat suits, nobody really makes eye contact with you. You've all these people wandering around doing their jobs, not really communicating. It was a very odd environment. Was it like that?
A little bit like that at times. It depends on what part of the site you're in. 11,000 people work in Sellafield, so it's a big part of the economy there. It's absolutely huge. So it's its own town. But to get into the really dangerous inner core, you got to go through so many more levels of security. So there's more blast barriers, there's more razor wires. What I found really interesting is if you think back to sort of movies like The Hunt for Red October and movies about old nuclear submarines and that TikTok nuclear sound, you hear that everywhere you go. And that sound means that the site is operating safely. Once that sound stops, I mean, you better start running, because and that's when things get dangerous. In certain parts of the site, we all had to wear our own little personalised radioactivity detectors that measured how much radioactivity we'd been exposed to, and it chips like a smoke alarm where its battery has run out. It chips all the time, and the chips get louder and more insistent the more radioactivity you're exposed to. Everywhere you look around, there are sites saying, you know, or there are signs saying radioactive area, particularly radioactive area, don't loiter here. You go and you talk to some of the staff who are, I mean, regular industrial staff doing a very, very dangerous job, but they're working these fairground grabbers behind 2 metre glass thick walls and plucking stuff out of ponds that are 8 metres deep. It's like a really, really elaborate computer game for a lot of these people, but a really, really dangerous one. But there has been a lot of concern over Sellafield recently in Britain, in the British media and in the British government, over alleged safety failings. Sellafield, of course, denies all of this. But all of this builds up to something that is still very, very relevant for Ireland and for Irish people.
Let's talk about that from our perspective, because we know every year the government here produces this national risk assessment, which outlines the current threats posed to the country. Sellafield isn't mentioned. The threat of a nuclear attack is low.
No. And I mean, look, one well-aimed hijacked terrorist aircraft could cause an awful lot of trouble for Ireland. I think a lot of the reasoning for Ireland it not registering so high is that the prevailing wind tends to blow the other way. But I mean, look, if the wind was blowing the other way, it could be a completely different kettle of fish. Irish government officials and Irish state officials seem to visit Sellafield now once a year, usually in July. And they go and they get given a tour, I presume very similar to the kind of tour that I got. If you look at their reports, if you look at it, you know, the fact that it's been raised in the Dáil, they say that they have no real concerns at the moment. I think a lot of this is also political. You've got to understand the Irish government has already seen the British government once at the moment over the legacy Northern Ireland Act.
Yeah.
They're trying to avoid at the moment, they're jumping through hoops to try and avoid a row with them over the Rwanda bill and the Good Friday Agreement. And I think they need a third row with them over Sellafield, like they'd need a diplomatic hole in the head.
And this was tried before as well, wasn't it?
This was tried before. Ireland tried to sue Britain in The Hague over this. Eventually, they kind of came to some sort of an agreement out of court. I mean, you know, Ireland wasn't able to sue them in the way that they wanted to sue them. So there is quite good cooperation, it seems now, in terms of information sharing between the Irish and British authorities over Sellafield. But that doesn't remove the nature of the risk. The risk is still there. I mean, I talked to one academic from the University of Sussex, a guy called Paul Dorfman, who advises the Irish government. I mean, he said, hands down, this is the most dangerous place in Europe, and that it probably should be higher up the Irish government in the Irish state's agenda. It doesn't seem to be. An awful lot of the danger in the past came from the pumping of nuclear pond water into the Irish Sea. There's a pipe about 2 or 3 kilometres out into the Irish Sea that spurts millions of gallons of this stuff out.
That's still happening.
It still happens. Now, they've built a new plant. They call it SIPEX, and they described it to me. It's like a nuclear kidney. It gets sand from a desert in California, and it filters this nuclear pond water through this special nuclear kidney, and it pumps it out. And supposedly, it's a lot less radioactive now than it was, but it's still pumping out old nuclear pond water into the Irish Sea, millions of gallons of it all the time. It doesn't stop. So the water goes from a lake in the Lake District called Wastwater, it's pumped down into Sellafield. This is used to cool down, because these nuclear rods are, I mean, they're incredibly hot. You know, it takes decades and decades for them to cool down underwater. And the water is pumped out hundreds of times per hour. And then it goes through this nuclear kidney and straight out into the Irish Sea. I mean, there's nowhere else for it to go. So there are a lot of reasons why Sellafield is still relevant. The hacking instances that you mentioned, or the alleged hacking.
Yes, explain that to me. That was a Guardian newspaper story, wasn't it?
Guardian did a big investigation, a year-long investigation, which culminated in a series of articles in December, in which the Guardian alleged that Sellafield systems had been hacked by Russia and China, or Russian and Chinese interests, who had left malware and sleeperware on the IT system. And if you think about the potential ramifications for that down the line in a geopolitical situation. Now, Sellafield denied both to the Irish Times and to the Guardian that this had happened. Sellafield's nuclear regulator also denied that this had happened. But a couple of weeks later, or actually very recently, actually last week, this was finalised, Sellafield is going to be prosecuted by authorities in the UK for alleged failings in its IT security systems. There have also been allegations over the work culture at the Sellafield site. I mean, you mentioned a lot of people walking around, you know, not making eye contact with each other. Sellafield itself has acknowledged pre-2018 that there were difficulties in its work culture, that there was allegations of bullying, sexism, harassment. And you think, well, what's that? You know, that happens in a lot of places. A bad working culture at a nuclear power plant or a nuclear dump is a hell of a different proposition. Sellafield says it has addressed those concerns since 2018, but there are still whistleblowers who have sued Sellafield, who are still involved in cases with them, who are being chased for costs. So that aspect of things hasn't been tidied up yet either. And the Guardian investigation delved into that, and I saw some evidence of some of those difficulties myself. And again, Sellafield has denied that it isn't handling these problems properly, but there are a lot of problems and issues swirling around Sellafield, political, economic, and the sheer cost of it, the scientific difficulty with trying to handle all of this stuff. And you know, I'm of a particular vintage, and when I grew up in the 80s and 90s, where Sellafield...
It was a huge topic, wasn't it?
That it just seemed so large in our psyche. Bono landing on the beach, you know, Greenpeace, the Thorpe reprocessing plant, the dangers that it would cause, some sort of nuclear Armageddon in Ireland. And I think there are a lot of scientists who think that perhaps from this side of the Irish Sea, we should still be looking at Sellafield, so, and at least asking questions.
Given your experience, if you were advising the Irish state, the Irish government, would you be saying you need to pay more attention to this?
I look, I think there are academics that I've spoken to and nuclear scientists and experts who say this should be higher up Ireland's agenda. And if that means causing another political headache by asking the British questions that they don't want to be asked and they don't want to be asking, perhaps they should still do it, because this could cause problems for Ireland down the line.
Mark, thank you so much for coming in and explaining all of that to us. Mark Paul, London correspondent with the Irish Times. Our GP, Maura Finn, is going to be with us next. She's going to take all of the questions you might have about pregnancy and how your GP can help you through that. So it's 51551 if you want to get your text messages in.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.